like a real world. But because of your assistance, I suppose I can make an exception. He turned back to his computer. What's your girlfriend's name? I stepped forward and my heart started to race a little. Finally, I was going to be pointed in the right direction. Rachel Rollins, I said. Rachel Rollins, the doctor said as he keyed the name into his computer. He sighed and turned back to me. I'm not showing anyone in the system by that name. Could she have selected a different character name after logging in? I thought hard about any other names that she may have used. She used the name Puff Muffin in Battle League, and her forum name was Rachel 604907. Well, you can't use numbers in your Eden's Gate username. Dr. Winston typed in Puff Muffin and searched for it as well. And sorry, no Puff Muffin either, he said, shaking his head. Maybe she logged out of the world before the keynote event. I'm sorry, Gunner. Just Rachel? I asked. Dr. Winston tapped the keys once more. I'm showing over 400 entries with some variation of Rachel as a first or last name. My heart sank. I lifted a knuckle to my chin and shook my head defeatedly. Aaron placed a hand on my shoulder. The doctor sighed. Gunner Long is your real name, right? Yeah, I muttered. I used my real name. Well, if she's somewhere out there in this world, you've got a chance to find her. I looked up attentively. How? Make a name for yourself, Gunner, the doctor smirked. Build a city, conquer a town, slay a king, or become a hero. There's no internet or television in Eden's Gate, but songs of greatness can travel to every corner of the world. If she hears your song, then she'll surely come to you. That wasn't the answer I was expecting. I was actually beginning to feel a little angry at the situation. Why did you prevent us from logging off? I asked. What if I want to go back to Earth? What if I hate it here? Is that how you feel? The doctor asked. I bit my inner lip, but I didn't speak. It wasn't how I felt, but I didn't like my life to be in someone else's hands. I didn't like the fact that I couldn't find Rachel due to someone else's actions. If you were back on Earth, and I offered you a chance to play the brand new, ultra-high-tech, cutting-edge, portable Nexicon gaming device, would you want to play? My eyes narrowed. Why was he changing the topic? Yeah, of course I would want to play. And now that you're here in Eden's Gate, if I pulled a gaming device out of my desk drawer and handed it to you, would you want to play? No, I muttered low. Exactly, the doctor cooed. Back on Earth, people are constantly trying to escape, constantly trying to get away from their mundane and plastic lives. Many of them feel trapped, but here, you can live. Your life is how you make it. The doctor stood and placed both his hands on my shoulders. Go out there and live, Gunner. He looked towards Aaron. Both of you. I nodded slightly as I took in his words. Even if I couldn't find Rachel, the last several days I spent in Eden's Gate had been the most exhilarating of my life. I had met interesting people, made great friends, and every day had been an adventure. I finally felt like more than just some lame stock boy at a grocery store. Well then, Dr. Winston said, stepping back from me. Where did you place that portal, Aaron?
In the wine cellar. Aaron tilted his head guiltily. We had a few drinks. It had been a long day.
Dr. Winston chuckled. It's quite all right.
We can't go back through that portal, I said. The level 29 spider is still there.
Oh, don't worry about going back through the portal, Dr. Winston said. I'm going to have that thing closed up immediately. I need my privacy and can't have random people just teleporting inside my home.
He threw a stink eye at Aaron.
I'll port you both back to the city of your choice.
I looked over to Aaron. Lyndon? Aaron nodded in agreement.
Chapter 33. Month 1, Day 7, Year 1. The leaves crackled under the hooves of our caravan as we traveled through Edgewood Forest. Aaron, Jax, and I each sat on three mighty horses that the elves of the Vale had commissioned to us, and in front of us was one of the Queen's workers, his horse pulling a small wagon with some initial building supplies and surveying tools. Sora sat curled up in front of me. She had grown three times the size she was since I last saw her, and having her on my shoulder for extended amounts of time was impossible. She was getting heavy, and her claws could pierce my armor. "This looks like a good spot," I said as we entered a fair-sized, flat-open clearing. "We wouldn't have to cut down many trees here."
"Maybe none at all," Jax commented.
"What do you think?" I asked Aaron. "Deep enough in the forest that we wouldn't be visible from the Freelands, but not so far that we could leave the forest each day without it being a burden."
"Works for me," Aaron said.
"Let's stop here," I yelled to the elf. "We'll build in this location." The elf stopped and nodded, hopping off his horse and tying it to a nearby tree. My two companions and I followed suit and tied our horses off as well. After Dr. Winston teleported Aaron and me back to Linden, we found Jax strolling into the town center right at the same time. He looked exhausted as we gave him a brief rundown of how we returned to town without getting killed by the monstrous spider, and he shared how he'd had an amazing time running from the pissed-off weavers that were apparently a lot more agitated when he made his way back out of the dungeon. The next morning, we all headed for the Vale, where we let Queen Farani know that we were ready to build our homes. Within minutes, the Queen had our caravan ready, and Jax decided to accompany us as he had yet to visit the Forest of Edgewood. Adili wasn't around at the time, off on one adventure or another. The elf unlatched his wagon and drove two stakes in the ground at the spot we indicated to place our homes. He hopped back on his horse and gave us a nod. "I'll return with builders and more supplies. It shouldn't take us more than a few days to have your homes completed." When it was clear that we understood, he rode off back towards the Vale. The four of us walked casually through Edgewood, Aaron and I getting a feel for the place where we'd be planting roots, and Jack surveying the area for game. I grudgingly allowed Sora to perch herself on my shoulder, despite all the added weight. Thin, white-barked trees stood tall all through Edgewood, layered with a few dark trees with larger, wider trunks. The forest was young, all right, much different than the ancient mammoths of Addenfall or the jungle overgrowth in the Vale. It was beautiful, though. Rustic flowers were littered between the trees, and the sound of songbirds filled the air in every direction. "What are you planning to do now that Eden's Gate isn't on the verge of being wiped out?" I asked Aaron. Aaron shrugged.
"I think I'll take up crafting. Carpentry, armor smithing, something along those lines. Get some hunting skills under my belt like Jax here. Maybe find me a hot wife to keep me warm at night."
He smiled wide.
"And what about you? What do you plan to do?"
I took a deep breath and looked out to the depths of the forest. "Well, the doctor said that I should make a name for myself, right?" Aaron nodded. "Then I won't stop until everyone in this world knows my name. I'll climb Dragon's Crest, and I'll find me a castle like Dr. Winston's." I turned around towards the stakes that the elves drove into the ground. "Or maybe I'll just build one." I smirked at the thought. "Gunnar Long, Lord of Edgewood. I could put this place on the map, you know?"
"Ambitious," Aaron said. "You might want to start with a guild first."
"A guild?"
"And I could be your first member."
Aaron smiled, lifted two fingers to his chin, and rubbed.
"The guild crafter. The sizzler. That would be pretty cool."
"Hmm," I said with a chuckle. "I like the sound of that." I pulled up my stats and threw the LP from my last level into sneak. My sneaking skills were a little weak considering how often I used it, so I figured it needed a boost. And there's a certain elf girl back in the Vale that I'll be paying a few visits to. I dumped all three of my AP into charisma.
"Hell yeah," Aaron said.
He reached a fist out towards me and we fist bumped. Jax kneeled and grabbed a handful of dry leaves. Something big was through here recently. He stood back up and continued ahead of us, slower, his eyes full of caution.
Be on alert, he said low.
So, what should we name this guild? Aaron said quietly. How about the...
Jax suddenly fell awkwardly on his back, cutting off our conversation. He slid a few inches on the ground, and his feet lifted into the air. He hung aimlessly by one of his ankles, snared by a tight black rope. A necklace and several gold coins fell out of his pocket, chinking on the ground below. We immediately ran to help him, but before we had made it two steps, two small steel arrows whizzed right in front of us, slamming into the closest tree.
Don't move any further, a calm voice said.
Aaron and I held up our hands and turned to see an elf ambling towards us. Sora let out her best roar. It was an actual roar now, but she was still too small for it to scare anyone. The elf looked much like the high elves of Mistvale, but his skin was almost devoid of color. He wasn't really dark, but it looked like something had sucked all the saturation out of him, giving his skin a light grayish color. He was wearing stiff, polished black armor that was obviously not metal, but quite a bit more rigid than leather. His fist was pointed towards us, and attached to the top of the strange gauntlet that was covering his arm was a device with a gleaming arrow ready to be unleashed.
Edgewood is not a part of the Freelands, humans.
Neil, I whispered to Aaron.
What? He said. He'll kill us.
Neil, I said again and slapped Aaron on his chest. I dropped to my knee and bowed my head. Aaron followed suit.
The elf chuckled low. You may rise.
Aaron and I both stood, and I glanced up to see Jack swinging back and forth clumsily, trying to get his foot unleashed. It was a bit comical, given how poised he usually was.
We mean you no harm, I said to the elf, then nodded towards Aaron. This is our home now. I pointed up to the hanging Jax. He's just tagging along for today.
Humans are not permitted to live in Edgewood, he spat.
He stepped forward and waved his gauntlet at us.
And you travel through here at your own peril.
We have permission to build here from Queen Farani, I explained.
Ha!
The elf huffed. I have the building rights here.
I reached for my pocket to get the parchment that Queen Farani had given me that morning that stated that I had unlimited rights of building and passage in Edgewood.
The elf jabbed his gauntlet towards me.
Slowly.
I moved slower as I slipped the paper out of my pocket and held it out towards the elf. He grabbed the paper and opened it with his one free hand. As he read it, he glanced up to me and back down at the paper several times. Eventually, he stepped back and lowered his gauntlet.
This is unusual, he said as he handed the paper back to me. But I respect our queen's wishes.
He cleared his throat and unenthusiastically said,
Welcome to Edgewood Forest.
Thank you, Aaron and I both said in unison. I pointed up towards Jax, who was flailing around like a troubled caterpillar. Can we cut our friend down? The elf smirked, lifted his gauntlet, and shot an arrow at the rope that was attached to the tree. He had impossible aim, severing the rope with a single volley and causing Jax to fall to the ground with a loud thump. Aaron and I ran over to Jax to make sure that he was okay, and he groaned and held on to his back as we helped him to his feet. I dropped to the ground and began to pick up his fallen gold coins, and when I reached for the necklace that fell out of his pocket, I froze. At the end of the necklace was a black medallion with a sparrow carved onto its face. Jax bent over and quickly swiped the necklace off the ground. He jammed it into his pocket and smiled at me as I handed him back his coins.
Jax was a sparrow?
A million questions ran through my mind. Was he the guy who killed me that night when I ran off with the sword? He had a motive, I suppose. But if so, why had he continued to help me, even going as far as joining me on a dungeon crawl?
I appreciate that you show respect to elves, even those of us with darker skin. And I find it rather odd that this panther isn't clawing your eyes out.
The dark elf held out his hand for a handshake. My name is Donovan Silvari, I can't guarantee the other inhabitants of Edgewood will be as welcoming as I. I shook the elf's hand, his words barely being processed by my brain as I continued to struggle with the idea that Jax was a sparrow. Gunner, I said back.
Aaron.
Jax Horn. I wouldn't confront Jax then. Not while I was in a strange forest in front of a dangerous dark elf. Jax seemed oblivious to the fact that I knew about the sparrows, as he smiled and gripped the newcomer's hand. I needed to keep my mouth shut and gather information as I waited for the right time. I took a deep breath and turned to Aaron. In a short period, he had become something like a best friend of mine, something I had never had back on Earth. And even if Jax was a sparrow, it was hard for me to think of him as anything other than a friend. Both of them taught me the importance of friendship, the one thing that I promised Rachel I'd work on before I placed the Nexicon visor on my head that day. Promise fulfilled? I hoped. Whether Rachel was in the game or not, and whether Jax was a sparrow, I was ready to continue my progression in Eden's Gate. I would find that castle, or build one. I'd level up and carve my name in the world, until people around the world sung songs about me. I'd make new friends, lots of them, hopefully. Start a guild, even. If Rachel was out there, maybe we'd find each other. One day, I thought. Until then, I plan to live my new life, and make Eden's Gate my bitch, starting with Edgewood Forest. I smiled wide. It's a pleasure to meet you, Donovan Silvari. This has been Eden's Gate, The Reborn, a lit RPG adventure. Written by Edward Brody. Read for you by Pavi Prochko. Copyright 2017 by Edward Brody. Production copyright 2017 by Edward Brody.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.